From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
Do you know what it takes to grow a perfect root vegetable? When I recently asked Away to Garden's readers and listeners what their most common seed-related issues were, one recurring theme came up that surprised me. Troubles with root crops, from poor germination of carrots to radishes and beets and others that never sized up. That's our topic today, but first this message.
Underwriting support from Timber Press, your go-to resource for books in gardening and nature. Whether you're a new gardener, a professional at the top of your field, or a reader interested in the wonders of the natural world, their books are there to help you grow. TimberPress.com.
If you want to know how to grow any crop to perfection, call a person who grows them for a living, I figure, and better yet, someone who does that in formal trials, where every last detail is recorded and evaluated. Daniel Yoder, a research product technician at Johnny's Selected Seeds in Maine, has a particular specialty in the world of root vegetables, and I'm glad he made time to join us today to answer your questions. Welcome, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Thanks, Margaret.
Yeah. So besides an education in plant science, I know your background includes sort of both farming and research, and so it's a perfect combination for what you're doing today. Tell us just a little bit about your background and what led you to Johnny's.
Yeah, sure. It's been a pretty natural progression for me. I didn't really grow up on a farm or gardening with my family or anything like that. It kind of came later in life for me in college. And so I went to college for plant biology and really gained an interest in both research and growing plants. And wasn't quite sure which direction to take, but just a natural occurrence of jobs and opportunities brought me to working in both production and research, and yeah, really excited to be where at Johnny's now, doing things I used to do for fun. Now I'm really getting paid to do what I really like.
And you get to work with one of my heroes among plant breeders and vegetable breeders, John Navazio, who I've known for a long time and has helped me understand a lot of things about how plants grow. So that's good too.
Yeah, John is a great resource here. He has taught all of us a lot of things already.
Yeah. Yeah, so you kind of grow crops with an eye to evaluation, you know, not as casually as some of us might be doing in our backyards where it's a little more higgledy-piggledy. And as I said in the opening remarks, I recently asked readers and listeners, you know, what was bothering them about things they grew from seed. And, you know, really, who knew? I was surprised at how many shouted out the root crops. So maybe it's good to kind of step back before we get into specific individual crops and sort of say, okay, how do root crops function? What makes something a root crop? I guess is there like biology? Are they all biennials? I mean, you know, what about them that we need to know to sort of understand them and start growing them better?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think once you really dig into root crops, there's endless crops that even we haven't heard of in other countries. Different types of potatoes and Andean root tubers that you can really get into it. But I think the most common ones that you see in the garden, the brassicas, turnips and radishes, the beets, the carrots and parsnips, those are all pretty much true biennials in that they require a vernalization to induce flowering, and then once they're done flowering, the plant then dies.
So that doesn't reproduce, it doesn't set seed until after that vernalization period happens. So presumably, like in some climates, that'd be in the second year?
Yeah, in some climates. So it gets kind of confusing once you start moving around the different zones.
Yeah.
With the varieties we have now, some really require very little cold period or even any at all, like in radishes, for instance. So they might even go to flower and seed all within 1 year,
right,
even though they, historically are a true biennial.
Right. So to get them, you know, if we had to sort of rank them, some of the more familiar ones, from easy to hard by sort of the degree of difficulty, is it like radish is the easiest and I don't know what at the other, rutabaga, I don't know what's at the other end. Parsnip is the hardest. Actually, I do think parsnips are hard sometimes to grow from seed. But
I agree, yeah. Once you're talking about the direct seeded root crops, I think radishes are probably the easiest in my mind and parsnips are the hardest.
So you just said direct seeded root crops. So is that one of the first tips you're going to give us about that we're direct sowing? Because it's a root crop, we don't want to transplant it. We want to direct sow it.
Yeah, that's a great point. There's been some growers who I've heard success with beets, that they can transplant beets.
Yeah, I've heard that too. Yeah.
Yeah, and you still want to get them in as early as you can, just so they don't have too much restriction within the cells. But pretty much all the other root crops, you're going to want to direct seed, or you're going to run into issues with root stunting. Yeah.
Okay, so they resent having their root disturbed early in their little lives.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So some of the questions that I was asked, you know, a reader named Caroline said, I have a really hard time getting carrots to germinate, and she's even tried pelletized seeds. But, you know, she feels restricted by that because she'd like to grow different varieties. So I don't know, maybe we should start with carrots and talk about just a little bit. And John and I years ago had a really great conversation about how to grow carrots. You know, kind of getting, when we're direct sowing, are there things we can be doing to get our root crops to do better? And sort of what's the basic protocol that you'd recommend? And then we can sort of do offshoots into specific ones that have extra special needs, maybe.
Yeah, that sounds good. I would start with, in root crops in general, I think some of the basic principles are very similar to all crops. You want full sun all day long. I feel like I run into many times where gardeners have a little bit too much shade in their garden.
Yeah.
They kind of try and find a sunny area. And then spacing, of course, with the root crops is pretty important. But for talking about back to germination.
Yes.
I think what's really important for root crops is getting your beds established. So you're... A lot of crops you can get away with transplanting or direct seeding, and maybe the seeds are bigger, like beans or peas and corn. And you don't really need a very well-prepared bed in a lot of cases for those crops. But for these root crops, you really want to focus on making sure they have a loose, friable bed. But there's a couple tricks that I usually give at this point. But
I love the tricks.
You know,
we love tricks.
Go.
No. Go for it. Yeah, we love the tricks.
Yeah, so you want to make sure you can loosen up your soil if you do have a heavier soil, especially. If it's not well drained, you might even want to raise it up. Even just a couple inches is usually fine, just to get a little bit better drainage in your soil. You can pick out the rocks, especially in the row, if you're able to, with just a typical hoe. So I usually do that, especially for carrots. And then one big trick that a lot of people don't think about is making sure you pre-irrigate your
yes.
bed, because you want that water to get down below the top layer, which is hard to do, especially for carrots when they're germinating. It's hard to get that water below them because you don't want to water them too heavily while they're germinating. So you want to pre-irrigate, and you also want to firm. You don't want to, if you're going to make a raised bed, you don't want to loosen it and just let it and plant into a loose bed, because that bed will settle a little bit, which will also kind of distort the root growth a little bit and kind of just set them back. So firming the bed to get really good seed-soil contact and better straight root growth is pretty important.
So we want it, so we're going to pre-irrigate so that we're going to prep it, we're going to get rid of... Well, I mean, some people use, like, bark chips, you know, and stuff nearby. And
uh-huh.
You know, that's another terrible thing. I can't imagine why anyone wants to use them. But between rocks and bark chips, things like that, we got to get them out of there for these little babies
yeah.
to – right. And we're going to pre-moisten. So we want the soil to be a good texture without a lot of lumpy, bumpy stuff and well-moistened. But so it's not super dense and packed down. But so if I raised it up a little bit and then I want to make sure I kind of tamp it down a little bit before I sow, is that what you're saying? So it's not too lofty mm-hmm. and then it collapses on the seeds? Is that the idea?
Correct, yeah. And
okay.
also just the seed to soil contact is really important. When you firm up the soil a little bit, it gets rid of some of the air that's in there.
Okay.
So if a seed takes a little while to germinate, there might be a little bit too much air around the seed itself, and it could, it helps to have that tight soil contact to get the moisture right to the seed.
So I might make with a tool or whatever, if I'm just in a garden setting and I might be doing a short row of something, I might use my finger or a bamboo stake or a edge of a tool or whatever. I might make a little very small, what am I making, a furrow and then covering the seed, or in this pre-moistened area, what am I doing to?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, if you don't have any kind of seeding implement,
right,
just planting by hand, yeah, I would go with making a furrow. And I really like, if I'm planting by hand, I like to, especially for these smaller root crops, is to plant them in maybe a 2-inch band or a 1 or 2-inch band, just a little bit of width so that you can get a few more roots in. So I typically sprinkle them a little bit across that 1 or 2 inches. And then one trick, if you don't have, one trick for carrots especially is adding something that's a little even lighter material on top, like a sand or vermiculite or peat moss mixed into your soil to cover them. And that will give them less chances of crusting soil and things like that.
Do you ever put, I think John, it may have been John who recommended to me, if I was having trouble with the soil crusting before the carrots or other root crops germinated, maybe to put a moist piece of burlap over it when I was done sowing, obviously before they came up, but just to keep things from drying out?
Yeah, definitely. And it doesn't have to be wet before you put it down. You can just irrigate it. And
okay.
Some people use that frost protection, the row cover.
Oh, sure.
Material.
Okay. That's good.
And
yeah,
that works just the same as burlap, too.
Oh, and that's really light and easy to work with. It's, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And it lets the light through, too. So I've heard of people putting wood down on top of the seeds, which does a very good job of keeping the moisture in there, but you got to watch that you pull it up at the right time. So
yeah.
The burlap lets the light through.
Right. So you were talking about a 2-inch, like a thick band. So in that band, is it how many seeds are we getting in how much space? So make me a visual of that, if you can, and tell me if it's different for different root crops in terms of the thickness of how thickly I'm sowing.
Sure, yeah. I think it does get a little technical with the band method. It's not for everybody, but
uh-huh,
if you are trying to increase your yields, I think that would be my recommendation. And it is different for different root crops. So you're really trying to get whatever your target in-row spacing is, you can plant the seeds within that band. So if you're planting radishes and you want to get them at least 3/4 of an inch apart, they can be staggered in that band, basically, to get more radishes in. But I would still shoot for your target in-row spacing. I wouldn't plant them too densely.
Okay. All right. So it's not like if I'm going to plant peas in a big band, so to speak, I don't care. They might even be thicker. I might plant them even more thickly. Peas is a different matter. But with this, I'm still going to respect the recommended packet spacing within the row, if it says 3/4 of an inch apart. Okay. So then, what about thinning? Because I think a lot of times, a lot of the packets say thin after blah, blah, and eat the baby greens, but isn't that disruptive? Like, when is thinning okay or not okay? Is it better to plant, as you farmers say, plant to stand, like plant to the actual exact? Mm-hmm. How do we go about that?
Yeah, there's a lot involved with that as well. I think, going back a little bit, I think I would start with, what seeds do I have, and are they a couple years old? Are they new?
Yeah.
Do I trust the quality? So when I'm planting, especially carrots, I think there's, and even in the colored carrots, I think you start to see some lower germination rates just naturally in those types of crops. So you want to check, if you can, check your germination rate. Think about if it's new or not. So you would, planting to stand, I think, is not really a great suggestion for beginners until they really have a little more comfortable idea, but it's a great thing to keep in mind still, that you don't want to just put down a lot of seed because it's quick and easy. If you take a little extra time to put down closer to your appropriate stand, it'll save you way more time later on with the thinning process.
Okay.
So then getting to your thinning techniques question, Typically, I usually wait until they're big enough that you can easily grab them with your hand. I think for rutabagas and turnips in particular, I think they're a little pickier, and I wouldn't wait too long on them because they really seem like they need their space to size up.
Okay.
Early, but with, I think radishes and carrots are a little more forgiving. But yeah, radishes maybe still first true leaf.
So radishes you're really thinning early. What about beets?
Early. Did you say beets?
Oh, yeah, beets. Yeah.
Yeah, for beets, I think the same as radishes. I would get them pretty early.
Early.
The one difference, I think, is with the carrots and the parsnips. One thing I usually do is, since they are so slow to germinate, especially in the spring, you can have cold soil, so you want to make sure that all your seed comes up so you don't have to keep going back and re-thinning or realize that you didn't get all the seeds. So I like to wait until they're a little bit bigger, and it also kind of helps with some of that early weed control if you have a little bit thicker stand before pulling them. So I usually let them just get 2 to 3 inches
mm-hmm.
or so, and it doesn't seem like they don't have any root development at that point, so it won't disturb the neighbors. Yeah.
So I think it was a reader named Becky said, you know, her failure is that radishes that fail to fill out. And it keeps happening for her. She keeps trying. And she knows she must be doing something very basic wrong. But on the other hand, right next door in the same bed, her Swiss chard is a roaring success and so forth. And, you know, and someone named Mary Sue said, beets, she's tried for 2 summers. The first year she got a couple of decent size, but really they never reached their full promise. And she's wondering, both of them are really wondering, even though the soil conditions are good or in other crops in these beds are growing well, what else is involved in a root crop shaping up? So we've talked about some of the things like thinning, when to thin, spacing. I mean, I'm assuming if you put them too tightly spaced together, they couldn't make a full root. It'd be an impediment, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think spacing is one of the key things that, you would want to make sure you get dialed in. There's I've seen over and over again people with a fear of thinning too. And I've gone through it too.
Of course.
That you don't want to kill your plants.
Of course.
But once you see the difference, you're sold immediately.
Okay.
So I would start with that. Sunlight, like I said,
sunlight.
Very important.
Yep. Okay, good. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then I think what's different about the root crops is to really get them to size, you want to make sure some of them don't need a lot of water in the beginning, but they do want consistent soil moisture, especially when they're starting to swell.
Right.
So you could even go out and check on them if you're not sure when to start giving them that consistent water. It's probably best the whole way through, but especially when they're starting to swell.
And sometimes that is, in many of our areas, at the driest time of the summer. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it can be during a hot spell, and there may not be a lot of natural moisture, so we've got to keep up with that.
I think one thing, or a couple things, you can, like for carrots, for instance, you could mulch them, or you could hill them, and the hilling does a couple things. It keeps the shoulders from greening.
Oh.
But it also keeps more moisture in the soil.
And I assume this isn't a hill the size of a potato hill. This is a little hill, a mini hill.
Just a little hill.
Only an inch or two
is all you need. Yeah.
Oh, interesting, though. I've never heard of that. Huh. That's interesting. That's very interesting. Some of these are different, like beets. The, quote, seed in the packet isn't really a seed, is it? I mean, it's like almost like a pod, a fruit. I don't know what it is technically, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a bunch of seeds melted together, basically.
Mm-hmm. So that affects spacing with that's a little bit different, right? Because no matter how we space the seed, quote unquote, that we get at each thing that comes in the packet, it's still going to make a cluster at each point if they all germinate, right?
Yeah, and some of it changes depending on how the seed has been harvested and processed. Before it comes to, the home user. Some of the seed that's, you know, some of your heirloom seed, or even if you're saving your own seed, you can get clusters of I don't know, 5 or 6 seeds in a cluster, a lot of the seed that's gone through cleaning that would come to us and we would sell, I think, has been broken up a little bit.
So okay.
Might be 2 or 3, and then you can even buy separated seed or genetically singulated beet seed, but that's a little different.
Mm. So we have 3-4 minutes left, and I want to talk about some sort of varieties, things that, okay, if I've never done well with carrots, what are the easiest kinds of carrots to grow? Is it the sort of stocky, shorter ones or the little round ones? Do you know what I mean? And similarly with these other crops, are there any sort of beginner to get my confidence up with root crops in each variety, in each species?
Yeah, definitely. I work mostly with radishes and carrots, so I'll probably give you my best recommendations in those. With carrots, I think you're right. Those shorter, stocky ones are kind of a little more bulletproof. They tend to work well in all types of soils. Some of the short Kuroda Chantenay-type carrots are a little more sensitive to bolting, but those are generally really good ones to start out with.
Okay.
If you're planting in the spring, which I feel like most people get most of their seeding done in the spring rather than fall, which a lot of these crops do much better planted in the summer for fall because they like to mature in the cold. But if you're planting an early carrot, I would go with one. We carry a bunch of early, what we call early Nance carrots, which are better for spring because they put on some bulk and flavor at an earlier time so that you don't have to wait for them to size up while it's starting to get hot out.
Okay.
So something like Yaya or Napoli, I think, are really great ones if you want a little longer carrot for the spring. And then for radishes, I think I was really surprised once I started growing a lot more of the storage-type radishes, the daikons and, say, watermelon types, but it's specifically the short daikon radishes compared to even your early spring French breakfast and round reds. Those are easy to grow, too, but these, like the Cayenne Bravo and the short, stocky daikons are almost a bulletproof variety in all seasons.
Oh.
And I would recommend that to anybody who hasn't thought about it to try those alongside their spring radishes, too.
Huh. So last minute, want to put in a pitch for those colorful carrots that you mentioned? Because, boy, they are beautiful. Tell me which ones I should be looking at.
Yeah, sure. There's a bunch of new stuff coming out. There's a lot of breeding going on in colored carrots now. So they're a little behind orange. So you never know what to buy. A lot of them are bolty or don't size up very well or hairy. But
hairy.
There are a couple new ones. Yeah.
I know. I get that.
The hybrids are a little easier to grow, a little more consistent. The the new Gold Nugget, white one, or white satin, purple haze are pretty good spring-planted varieties that I would recommend.
So root crops. So we've got to be mindful of, we got to pre-water those beds, prep the soil. We've got to space well. We can't be afraid to thin. Keep them evenly watered. And no big fertilizer. Is there any big fertility thing? I forgot to ask that just real quick.
Oh, yeah. I think you just want to watch for any crop. You really don't want to over-fertilize, especially in the beginning for root crops.
Okay.
It could fear a radish to be too leafy and carrots to get hairy. So, yeah, just a nice low fertilizer or compost.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Well, Dan Yoder, I'm so happy to speak to you and to finally make your acquaintance, and keep up the good work, and I hope I'll talk to you soon again. Thank you.
Thank you. Likewise.
Underwriting support from Timber Press, your go-to resource for books and gardening and nature. Whether you're a new gardener, a professional at the top of your field, or a reader interested in the wonders of the natural world, their books are there to help you grow. TimberPress.com.
Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version on Stitcher or iTunes. Find me anytime at awaytogarden.com or on facebook.com/awaytogarden. And happy gardening meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.